Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? To another episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could rip all of my tomatoes out of my new food garden, and I'd go, okay, I guess you needed them. My guest today has a podcast called Yes, a Stripper. I enjoy her Instagram very much, or their Instagram. I didn't ask your pronouns, which is rude. I'll ask now.
Yeah, my pronouns are she, her for right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So she's incredible. It's AM!
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for reaching out. I thoroughly enjoy your posts and stuff. I feel like you're a very good ally.
Thank you. I'm honored. I was shocked when I saw that you shared one of my posts in your stories. I'm like, and somebody actually texted me a screenshot. They're like, have you seen this? And I was like, you know, it was really cool. So, yeah, thank you so much for being open to having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I had been trying to figure out how to have strippers and or sex workers. Also, is it the same thing? Is stripping sex work?
Yes, absolutely.
That might be the way you smiled. I was like, that's a dumb question.
No. It's not a dumb question at all. And I think that it's great that people ask even the most basic questions because, you know, it means you want to learn. So
I do want to learn a lot, specifically because I'm like, I think sex work is, you know, work. And I think it's insane that it's stigmatized because people have sex for free. So I'm like, monetizing it to me is like, oh, that's smart. And also I pole dance, not well, but I love it. And I like found this hashtag that was like not a stripper. And I was like, well, that's insane. Like, why do you need to have the distinction because like, it's not like pole dancing was this art form on its own. If I'm correct, it came from strip clubs.
Correct.
So like, so it's insane to be like, I'm not a stripper, but this apparatus that I'm swinging around is for a stripper, but the person on it is not. It's weird.
It is weird, and it actually upsets strippers quite a bit, and it's actually why the hashtag Yes, a Stripper was created, and, you know, sort of in clapback to that, and to also have a discussion around how rude the hashtag Not a Stripper is, and it divides, you know, and it's the people who created it did so to separate themselves from strippers to make sure that people knew, like, yeah, well, I dance on a pole, but like, I don't do what strippers do. And in that sense, it puts us in this category that strippers aren't good, that it's bad to be a stripper. And so that's how it makes us feel like excluded from the thing that we created for y'all to do. You're welcome. You know? So yeah, it's infuriating.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, it's very confusing. Like when I was trying to wrap my head around it and I was trying to think of like an equivalent and I truly can't figure out one. I guess it's like if you have knives and you're like, not a chef, not a chef. I cut shit, but I'm not, I'll cut this steak, but I am not a chef. It's just so insane to me.
That's a good analogy.
Cause it's like, yeah, okay. We all, I don't know. It's just, it's very strange to me. I pull at a place, it's called Luscious Maven. I think it's like rather inclusive and I just like that nobody was like, you're too fat to be on a pole.
Oh, yeah, never. Luscious Maven is great.
Yeah, and I've had some people, like, you know, message me and be like, I'm scared to do it. And I'm like, just go do it. And then I've had people be like, I went and they told me I was too big or, like, the teacher was condescending. And I was like, oh, this is so weird that their experience is not good like mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Luscious, I actually had a reaction when you said Luscious Maven because I've worked there before my accident. And it actually was originally a studio called X Positions. And it was one of the first studios in Los Angeles that was open in like 2007. Mm-hmm. And it was the first studio I ever worked at. So I've been working in that building off and on since 2007. And I've worked at Luscious Maven for a while. Have we never crossed paths there?
I do not think so. I take a lot of classes, or took, oh boy, I miss it, with Veronica and then Tempest. Yes. And then I've done a couple with, I don't remember her name, but her Instagram handle is Vegan Pole Dancer?
Monica.
Yes, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three I oscillate. Oh, and Jenny.
Yeah.
Those are the four I oscillate between.
Amazing.
Yeah, but I've never had a class with you.
Yes, I did all the highly sexual classes.
Oh.
Yes.
See, I haven't taken any of those yet, specifically because I don't find, I'm not sexy.
Not true.
Like, I'm a very silly person, and that is a thing that I just can't commit to because I don't think it's in me.
Mm.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no pressure. No pressure.
But I mean, I would do it, but like, I just, I feel like I would like look at the footage because I like to, you know, tape myself so I could be like, what did I do right? Because right. In the moment, it's very hard to tell. But I think I'd watch it and be like, wow, this is not sexy at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's interesting teaching the sexy pole classes because I'll have like advanced pole dancers have mm-hmm. a hard time in those classes. And I just find it so interesting that that there are so many of us that struggle with finding the sensual sexual parts of ourselves. And I just love bringing that out in people. And I love watching them go through that journey of like discovering their body. And like, I'm very big on, you know, making sure people are touching themselves, but consensually. I don't force anybody to touch themselves, you know.
What a wild class that would be. It's like, touch yourself, do it, hold your titty, you're not holding it.
Yeah, I really try not to force anybody. It's more of like encouragement, and mm-hmm. it's, you know, and it's in a very loving, caring way. It's not like overtly sexual, but yeah, it's really important to me that people are in my classes are connected to themselves and their bodies mm-hmm. and like saying very kind things to themselves.
That's, I think, one of the most important things. That's a thing that I learned in therapy over mm. the years. My therapist is like, anytime I say something disparaging about myself, she's like, why are you being mean to my friend? And I was like, What do you, she's like, I like you. You're my friend. Why are you being so rude to her? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. So I tried, like, anytime I'm like, oh God, you idiot. I'm like, well, okay, Nicole, you're not an idiot. Like, and then I think that's the thing I like the most about stripping, like going to clubs and stuff, is like, people seem to be being nice to themselves and they're going, look at this body. Don't you love it? I love it. I'm like, yes, I do love it. It makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, there is definitely a lot of it. I mean, there's also a lot of insecurities that we all deal with behind the scenes, and it looks like we're, you know, we've got it all together, but, you know, we're just like anybody else at the end of the day. We still, you know, also walking around and looking hot is part of the job. You know, it's like you have to get your hair done, your makeup done, and, you know, get the right outfits and do whatever you're going to do to your skin. And so it's, it looks like we're like, oh, I'm hot and I'm great all the time. But just like everyone else, we go home and we're like, shit, like, I, you know, we say all the things to ourselves as well. I don't want to put words into people's mouths and say really negative shit, but, you know, we still go home and we're just like everyone else. We like want to eat ice cream and watch Netflix at the end of the day, you know? Yeah.
So you, how long have you, well, I guess clubs are closed now, but how long prior to Corona were you working in clubs?
I started working in clubs in 2002.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and then in 2018, I was in an accident and I stopped working in the clubs during at that time. Yeah.
Do you think you'll go back to working in clubs?
I don't see that happening because since then I've become a union coordinator.
What's that mean?
It means I'm trying to unionize strippers. And
Okay.
And if I'm not unionizing strippers, I'm informing them of their rights very loudly. And very clearly. And one of the things that they do here in the LA clubs now is they look at your Instagram handles before they hire you.
Wait, really?
Yeah, exactly. And so one of the reasons they do that is because they're pressuring their dancers to advertise the club on their Instagram accounts. So the more followers you had, the more likely you were to get hired. Yeah. And then after a while, when they understood that there was a group of people informing strippers of their rights, they look at Instagram accounts to see if you're posting about your worker rights, like if you're learning stuff and if you're agreeing with it. And if you're posting it, they're like, oh, never mind. And like that will determine if you will get hired or not.
That's fucking crazy. That's truly the wildest thing I've not the wildest thing I've ever heard, but like. It's that's fucked up to like be like, okay, we've got a group of girls. Let's go hunting through their personal lives to see if they're educated on like to see if we could take advantage of them, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a case in a different city, not in LA, not in California, where a dancer was hired. She, you know, a contract was ready for her and she came in with a hat on and they're like, oh, yeah, we're ready for you. And then she took the hat off and walked away or something. And half an hour later, they're like, oh, never mind. We're not hiring you. And she's like, I think it's because when they recognized me and they went back and they looked at my account, because her account now, when she got hired, she wasn't posting about her rights. But then later when the club opened, when COVID, you know, calmed down and the club opened and they looked at her Instagram account and it had been all about her rights. They're like, okay, never mind. So they terminated her contract and we suspect it's because she had started talking about her rights on Instagram because nothing else had changed. Why take away her contract?
That's so fucked up. That's so rude. So, okay, the paying system in a club, I read somewhere that sometimes girls pay, like they have to tip out the house, like tip out the club. Before they start dancing. So when you start dancing, you're dancing in the hole, essentially, and you have
Absolutely.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's called a house fee. So you're, like, renting the space that you use in the strip club.
I guess that's similar to, like a beautician where they have to, like, rent their chair.
It is, but the difference is that the beauty salons are, like, doing stuff for you. They're like cleaning this shit up for you. They're like supplying you with the things. They're like, you know, you have the tools and they clean up your chair. They sweep for you at the strip club. Like you have to buy all your own stuff for work, all your own costumes, your own shoes. Like we clean the poles ourselves. Sometimes they have the waitresses come up there, but you know, they're not providing enough for us to be paying them.
Also, you like if you sell food, you sell it at such a high markup that probably covers what you're asking dancers to pay in. And then drinks are obviously super marked up.
Yeah.
So it's like you are making money elsewhere. Why not? Would you advocate like to have a hat, like to tip after you finish dancing, or like not tip the house at all?
I mean, not tip the house at all.
Yeah.
You know, if I were a server, I don't pay to go in. You know, I guess I tip my busboy, but that's only if I want to. So the thing is these tip outs are coerced, and it's like, if you don't tip out, then you get treated like shit. If you don't tip out enough, you get treated like shit. Like the DJ will skip you, or the DJ will
play. Wait, really?
Yeah. Or the DJ will play music that you don't like on purpose. You won't get the shifts that you like. If you have an argument with a customer and you haven't tipped out your bouncer enough, then the bouncer won't try to help you as much.
That's literally insane.
Yeah, but it happens everywhere.
That's so fucked up. Like, just to like have a bouncer be like, oh, you didn't give me 20 extra fucking dollars, so I'm going to let your life be in danger.
Yes.
That makes me so angry.
Yeah.
That's just awful.
I know. And it happens all across the country. And it's, you know, I don't know. I know that they get ripped off in Canada too, but I don't know like the tipping culture exactly there. But they're also like in Canada, they have to pay agencies.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they pay the agency, and then the agency books them, and then like they get these paychecks, and it looks like an AT&T bill where it's like they just take a fee for this and a fee for that. And then one of the things they do is they charge them promo fees. So they take their photo of the dancer and put it on a poster and put their logo on it and charge the dancer for that.
Oh my God. This is wild.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, okay. So are you for like sex work to be decriminalized or legalized? What, and then what's the difference? I have so many questions.
You know, that's a really excellent question. I'm for decrim, and the reason I'm for decrim is because the most seasoned activists, sex workers, that's what they're for. And so they know more than I do. I know that legalization isn't the best idea, and I don't know why, and I'm sorry that I can't answer that with like full confidence, but I do know that the majority of sex workers and activists working in sex work want decrim. I want decrim. I want full service sex work decriminalized for both the John and for the worker. Because in some cases, they're trying to decriminalize it just for the worker and then make it so that it's a criminal act for the John. But that doesn't help anybody.
No, that's like you can eat at a restaurant, but you can't go to a supermarket because food's illegal. Do you know, like, it's like,
yeah,
you can't have one without the other.
Exactly. Yeah. So they call that the Nordic model. Nordic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so fucking weird. It's very strange to be like, okay, so your livelihood is, you know, having an interaction with a person, but we're going to criminalize the person wanting the interaction. So then it's like, well, who do I interact with?
Right. It's just nonsense. It's them just looking like, oh, we're doing something to help you. See, like, we do want to help you. Psych. Like, that's what it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, that's, and then why is, I mean, maybe you don't know the answer to this. Maybe nobody does. Why is prostitution or like illegal, but then stripping is legal? Why are there like tiers of things that like are okay?
I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure why they, you know, it's the morality police, I suppose, you know. And I think a lot of it has to do with penetration and this thing that they believe, well, you're just spreading STIs, STDs, and, you know, you're just making it worse for society because you're spreading these diseases, is what I'm thinking of, maybe what their thought process is of why one over the other. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, it's that they can't control that capital. And so if you look at porn, for instance, that is people penetrating all different types of orifices with each other on camera. They're getting paid. The executives are getting paid. The directors are getting paid. Everyone's getting paid from porn. But full service sex work, which is what you call prostitution, sex workers prefer to call it full service sex work. And I'll explain why in a minute. But when you're doing full service sex work, the worker themselves is the only one that's capitalizing off of their body. And therefore, that can't be regulated. It can't be controlled. And so that really pisses off the man, right? Because they don't want female bodies specifically, yes, there are male sex workers, but specifically females, they don't want us making money off of our bodies. That causes a problem for them. That empowers us. And the way we see it is it's just a way to maintain control over our bodies. Why is porn legal, but me having sex with a stranger consensually for money is not? What's the difference?
I mean, honestly, there's no difference. And in my head, I'm like, wouldn't it be in your best interest as a government to tax it? Like, it's just like, why aren't drugs legal? Tax them. Like, it's
right.
People want things. They're going to do it regardless. So why not tax them?
Exactly.
Like, why not have full service sex work? You know, you're a single person. You incorporate. You become a corporation. And then you're taxed as a corporation. Like, it's really kind of dumb.
It is kind of dumb. And quite frankly, they've caused all the problems themselves by making full service sex work illegal in the first place. Because when they closed down all of the brothels and they're like, okay, never mind, these are illegal, like, bye. And then they kicked all the sex workers out onto the street. That's what, because mm-hmm. those brothels were their homes. That's where they lived with their families. And so now these workers were out on the streets. And so that's how street work was created mm-hmm. because they didn't have safe houses, and then they needed pimps because they needed to be protected from people mm-hmm. who were harming them on the streets. So that's why pimps were created. And then some people were like, hey, we could move these people around and make money off of this, and that's how sex trafficking was started. So it's just like, if they all just kept their noses out of it, or ask us, they're not asking us. They just do. It's like going to a construction site and making up all these laws and rules, and they're not construction workers. And they don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just ruining it.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I didn't know that sex workers lived in brothels. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like, you went to the brothel, that's your job, you go home.
Yeah, no, they lived in them. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this is back in the early 1900s, you know, when brothels were like allowed to be. And I did want to address the word prostitution because, you know, it's something that I learned a couple years ago, even after being a sex worker for several years, mm-hmm. Is that, you know, the word prostitution was created to deem people who are doing what they consider an illegal act. So the word prostitution is used for someone who is illegally selling sex for money.
And we don't
believe it should be legal. And therefore, it's a carceral term. And it's a term that was created by the authorities and by, you know, the law, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't like that very much. So,
okay, I stopped saying it.
Yeah. Oh, no. But when I say we don't like that very much, I mean, like, we don't like that it's illegal, that it's considered illegal, mm-hmm. that it makes no sense. And so to us, we don't think that we're doing anything wrong. So, yeah. But it's such a commonly used word. It's not, mm-hmm. yeah, no one's getting angry. It's just I like to just, like, educate about it.
No, it's nice. I've been trying to, like, learn, and I will try to, like, post, you know, things about, like, pro sex work, things in my stories.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe it's, you know, it's work, and it's, thank I think it's you. Legitimate. And I've had a couple people be like, here are some corrections. And I'm like, great. That's, I don't know. I truly yeah. don't know. I, like, try to do my due diligence. If I, like, see something, like, I looked up the Nordic model before I posted about it to be like, is this a thing? And then a bunch of Google.com, she's a friend. She helped me. She said yes. So then I, like, posted about it. And then I posted something else. I don't remember what. And then someone in my messages was just like, oh, this is a pretty problematic person for X, Y, and Z. So maybe don't repost them. And I was like, you know what? I didn't know. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. And I get the same messages too for all different kinds of things. There's just so much to learn.
There is so much to learn. And I feel like sometimes people get upset when corrected because they're like, well, I'm trying. And it's like, well, trying is one thing, but, like, just listening is so much more helpful sometimes than just trying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I've found that there's just a lot of defensiveness in the learning process these last several months.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I got into an argument with a friend over those little black squares during the the summer in LA where everyone was, you know, marching and protesting and posting things. And then, you know, fall came. They're like, we gotta go to sleep or something. I don't know. It just, yeah. The fervor left LA. But I had an argument with my friend. I was like, don't post that black square. I don't know why I don't like it, but I don't think you should post it. And then when, like, that was like the night before people were posting it. And then we woke up and then I like saw a post that was like, it's fucking up the algorithm for the Black Lives Matter hashtag where there's information. And I was like, I knew it was like pointless, but I was like, I didn't know what I thought was like harmful about it. But then I like explained it to my friend and they're like, but everyone else is doing it. And I was like, yeah, but like the black person in front of you is telling you that it's meaningless, that it's right. Not, it doesn't matter. And then we like got into like kind of a heated argument about it. And then they finally deleted it. But I was like, and then they apologized. And I was like, but had you just like listened, I wasn't saying you're wrong. I'm saying this thing that you're trying to do that's helpful isn't helpful. Right. So just listen. Yeah. Listening's hard.
It's hard, but also admitting that maybe there's something that you could have done better. Like, mm-hmm. I think people just don't want to look bad, like so hard they don't want to look bad that they'd rather defend and not listen than admit that. And I don't think that when you're making a mistake, you look bad, but I think that's how a lot of people read it. Like they don't want to have made a mistake and look bad. But I think that looking bad helps everybody.
I think so. I don't mind looking bad. I look bad and stupid all day long. Like, I love roller skating. Is she not good at it? I fall down all the time. Yeah. But I'm just like, I don't know. If I don't look bad and look silly doing something I like, then I'm never going to get good at it. So, like, why not?
Yeah. Or also looking bad opens the door for other people to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to pole dance before working in a club or did you learn after you get the job?
Well, when I started in 2002, there were no pole dance classes. So you learn on the stage naked in front of strangers is how you learn.
How wild.
Yes.
That's so interesting. That like, yeah, that there's no place to like learn how to do this. And you're like, okay.
Talk about looking bad.
Well, I guess I just
bad.
Do it. On P-Valley, which is like my favorite show, they sometimes practice in the club like during the day. Is that something that's real?
Yeah, absolutely. We would either go in early or stay late or practice like on a slow shift would be a perfect time to do that. But, you know, going in early means that, you know, the club opens at 11. So you want to get there at 10, but like ready to go so that you can spend your time on the pole and not in the dressing room getting ready. And then if you're working at night and you want to practice after work, the club closes either at 2 or at 4. So you're in the morning so that you're there practicing at like 2:30, 3 in the morning after you've just worked all night.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And in LA, what the rule is, if there's liquor, it can be full titties. And then if there's no liquor, full titties. If there's liquor, no full titties, right?
Well, it kind of depends on where you are. So, you know, in certain, it varies by city, actually. So So in Hollywood, for instance, we have to be bikini if there's alcohol. But in North Hollywood, they can be topless, but they have to stay behind a line on the stage and there's only beer and wine.
Oh, yeah. How arbitrary.
Yes. And then in Los Angeles County, if you're nude, then there's no alcohol at all.
I wonder why.
I also wonder why. I think a lot of it, like, people don't want people to be nude with alcohol. Like, they think that everyone's just going to go crazy and just, I'm drinking alcohol and you don't have panties on and I can't control myself.
I guess.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
Maybe. Because in Portland, it's like full bar, full nudity.
And
same
in Florida.
Thing in Kansas, a full bar. Like the first strip club I went to was in Kansas. It was like full nudity. And I was like, oh, okay. Then in LA, I was like, wait, what? I was like, this is confusing.
It's very confusing. And again, they're hurting themselves because then the clubs could do more sales and liquor and then they could be paying more taxes to the state.
Yes. It's almost as if the government's like, we don't want money. Like, but it's like they do. They want money. They want to keep it. They don't want to give it to us. But like just things they could be doing could be very smart. But oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
Real quick, we have to take a break. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy. I think I said, I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
When the weather app says rain, the McDonald's app says McDelivery. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's, delivery prices may be higher than at restaurants. Delivery and other fees may apply.
Back. Okay. This is a love and relationship podcast, but also I am not dating right now. So like I've just been talking about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. But okay, I'll ask you, are you single? Are you dating?
I'm so incredibly single.
Me too.
For a long time.
Samesies. Mm. As a sex worker, is dating harder or no?
It's much harder. You meet people who are okay with it at first, and then the more they start to develop feelings for you, then your closeness with other men becomes an issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience. Or I'm just not taken seriously from the beginning, and I get played pretty well. Because I'm so, like, if I like you, like, I'm loving, I'm kind, like I want to do things for you. And so I feel like those things have been taken advantage of, and then they just peace out super early because I don't think they intended to go any further with me because of what I do, because they can't handle it. And then my Instagram account too, I've gotten broken up with over my Instagram account before.
Wait, really?
Because it's like highly sexualized. Yeah.
But that's what you do. That's what, like, do you wait to tell people? Like, do you wait till like the second or the third date? Or is it like the first date you're like, I strip?
Yeah, I kind of just come right out and say it because, like, I just don't. I wouldn't have to do that if I were an accountant or a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, so this is our third date. And I just really have to let you know, I'm a lawyer. So I don't know if that's going to be a problem for you.
And he's like, I can't take a lawyer home to my mother.
Right. Exactly. So I just come right out and say it. And I make it, even like on the dating apps, I like make it very clear of what I do. And the conversations that I've had with people, it's very disappointing. You know, they're like, oh, well, I've been with a stripper before and it's like X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, so they'll just tell you straight up. They're like, oh, I've already had this experience and this is what it's going to be like. So it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so interesting that, I don't know, that sex work and stripping just can't be considered a job. And it's like, well, that's the job I do. And because I guess I just don't see getting jealous of like getting closer to other men, because it's like, oh, I'm taking their money. That's the whole thing is a fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
So it's like, why get mad if that's the thing that you signed up for?
Yeah, I think a lot of people just have this notion of what they think stripping and sex work is from the media. I mean, the media is very influential and has been in our lives since, you know, we were born. And the media paints us as a certain type of person. And so if you really follow a stripper and like learn about what we do for work, there's a lot of care that goes into dealing with the clients. Like a lot of times we are talking to them or listening to them or... you know, I've gotten paid $400 an hour before just to give people shoulder massages and drink champagne with them, you know, because that's what they wanted. They just wanted the company of another person. And so, but yeah, you know, there's plenty of times where I've been like grinding my bare pussy on their hard dick through their jeans. Yeah. But it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. I know it sounds like I wanted to say it like that because it definitely sounds like, whoa, you know, but that's the fucking truth. I did plenty of that for hours and hours and hours, you know, but collective hours, not in a row. And so I get it, but it's like you just have to you have to date people who are secure with themselves as a sex worker, someone who knows that, you know, what I'm doing when I'm grinding on hard dick, that's not my emotions. It's not my heart. It's my body. And I'm happy to share my body with other people. It makes me feel good knowing that I am giving someone intimacy that they really need. If you look at it that way, if you look at it as like these people are paying for intimacy because they either don't know how to get it from whoever, or they're in an unhappy marriage and they just want to forget about something and feel a person on them, like that can be so sweet. If you think about it, we're giving people body therapy.
Yeah. It's like a living weighted blanket.
Yeah.
Because I think people have weighted blankets because it feels like a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand weighted blankets. I really don't like them. I
like weighted blankets.
I can't get behind them. I just feel like I'm dying. I really hate them. Yeah, I guess I could see how someone could get jealous. I get it's not the same thing as comedy, but kind of. I've had some people I've dated not enjoy me being funnier than them. And then it becomes like a weird little competition. And I'm like, well, it's my job. And I know that, you know, men are supposed to be funny, but guess what? A lot of them aren't. And it's just like, it would be like a, not an argument, but a one-upmanship. I say something funny, he'd like try to up it, and then I'd up it. And then I'm like, this is like what comics do when we get together. So like, this is my arena. And you know, I don't know. I think strong people are intimidating.
Oh yeah. 100%. And it definitely takes a strong person, first of all, to do comedy. My gosh. I'm like, I wish I could do comedy. I'm terrified of it. Isn't that funny? I could be naked.
It is very funny.
I could be naked in front of like 500 people. I don't care. 500 is great. That's a huge audience. Like, I'm hungry for it right now, actually. But to do like stand up comedy, oh my God, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, it is. I mean, whenever I think about it, I'm like, it's literally the most insane thing. Like, just truly, like being like, okay, I wrote a bunch of things down. I'm going to say them out loud and you're all going to laugh. And then if you don't, I'm going to tell you that you're dumb. And then explain to you why the joke was funny. And then stripping, I guess, like, I don't know. Like, I've always said, like, I've talked to friends about, like, nudity and, like, acting and stuff. And I'm like, would you do nudity? I'm like, I would show my pussy, but I don't think I would show my titties. And everyone thinks that's insane.
Yeah, that's an interesting, yeah, that's a, yeah, I feel the opposite.
See, I like my pussy. I don't love my titties. So I'm like, I don't know. I'll show you the thing that I like the best.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's what makes you know, sex work's so great. Not that you're doing sex work, but it's like, you know, when you get to choose what to do with your body, it's like you're providing for people what they need. You know, it's supply and demand. And some people probably mm-hmm. would rather see pussy over tits. So at least someone's willing to.
And I'm here to show it up. I think that, so like being bottomless reminds me of Winnie the Pooh. So I think that's how I'd be like, yeah, I don't mind. I'm Winnie the Poohing it.
I love that.
So that's, I guess, why I'd be comfortable with it.
I love it.
Here's a question. Working in clubs, there isn't much diversity in clubs. Like, I like Jumbos and I like Cheetahs before Cheetahs turned into whatever the fuck Cheetahs is now. Mm. And there'd always be like one black girl or like maybe two black girls, like barely any trans women. And I was like, this is so weird. Mm-hmm. And have you danced anywhere other than LA?
Yes, I danced in West Palm Beach for a little while and I danced in Vegas. And then just like randomly here and there across mm-hmm. the country. Yeah. Like one night here.
Are the clubs that you've danced in like predominantly white? Are they like mixed well with like different people or?
No, they're predominantly white. And that's because they're racist. And then there's the hip hop clubs that are predominantly women of color. And mm-hmm. really no trans people. I worked with a trans dancer in Vegas, but she was passing. She was so mm-hmm. passing. There was no, like, we only really knew because it got out and circulated as gossip, which is shitty. And this was back in like 2003 and 2004 when we were just a lot less woke, which even wasn't that long ago. It's so pathetic. But she was treated differently, unfortunately, but she was so passing and beautiful. And I just wish that they would allow more trans dancers to be with us. Mm-hmm. And the white clubs are racist and the black clubs are, they don't really hire a lot of white dancers. So mm-hmm. it's sort of like if you go into a club, like which is infuriating, the club owners and the managers think, well, we know what people like. And so we're going to schedule and hire dancers based on what we think people like. And it's like, but people like so many different things.
Yeah. And yeah, if they don't like one dancer, they don't have to look at that one. It's 5 minutes. Like exactly. You can just be like, oh, that one's not for me.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with a fat dancer? I don't think I've ever seen a fat stripper.
No, I haven't, because they're fattists. Is that a word? Anti-fat dancers?
I think it's fat phobic. That's the word.
Fat phobic. Yeah, that's what they are. And no, I've never. But I know some now that dance online and they're just like mm-hmm. stunning and mm-hmm. wonderful and beautiful and people like them and are turned on by them. And so again, that's the owners and the managers thinking that they know what everybody wants. If you go to a porn site, it's like so many different kinds of things.
Yeah, everything you could possibly want.
Everything, because everybody wants everything.
Like Instagram has opened the door for me to see like people who look like me dancing. Mm-hmm. And then that makes me a little bit more motivated to be like, ah, well, I will get that move one day. Or maybe one day I will dance in a club. One like dream of mine is to like once a month dance in a club and then donate the money to something.
I love that.
Or like give it back to the girls or something. But like just be like once a month I do this. But I have to get good first.
I mean, good at what? What part do you have to get good at?
Tricks. I'm okay. A trick lady. I went to this club in Kansas and this woman named Foxy told me that there's four types of dancers. There's face girls, floor girls, pole girls who do like tricks and stuff. And then face, floor, tricks. Oh, maybe it's only three. I don't remember, but I want to be a pole girl who does tricks.
Okay. Okay. A pole girl who does tricks. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. She's right. There's all, I know pole girls that only do tricks and don't do floor or face. Mm-hmm. I do all three. Floor, face, pole.
See, I mean, that would be like the ultimate, but you know, I can't be greedy. I'm just going to pick one and focus on that.
No, I love it. Yeah. No, that is pretty accurate of her though. That is pretty accurate, but I wish that for you, that you get to fulfill that dream.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I worked at Jumbo's. for 11 and a half years.
No, I didn't know that. That's a long time. Yeah, I wonder if I've seen you dance there. Probably.
Probably have, yeah.
When did you stop dancing there?
In December of 2018.
Oh, then I definitely must. I probably saw you there.
Yes.
It's maybe one of it's I like. Did you have a good experience? Oh, no. What a big long pause. I'm so sad. It's one of my favorite places. Oh, no.
Yes and no. Yes and no. It was working with the dancers there was unbelievable. The dancers made that place. It makes it what's so special about it is the dancers. And but the way it's run, it's mismanaged poorly. The owner is a Trump supporter, which is weird.
Makes me so sad.
And it was racist. There were racist hiring policies. Actually, there was no policies regarding hiring. They just do whatever they want. So it's kind of racist. They had two and a half black dancers there.
Yeah.
Out of a roster of 50.
Oh, damn. I didn't know 50 girls worked there.
They did. And then she fired like a third of the dancers when the law changed. And it went down to 1.5 black dancers out of 30.
Dang.
Yeah. So, you know, things like that are pretty disappointing. And, you know, we as dancers weren't as well taken care of as we should have been. So there was, you know, struggles with the owner. And a lot of people think, oh, the owner is a woman. That's great. It's like, no, you don't have, it doesn't matter your gender. It matters how you take care of your workers.
Yeah, people shouldn't get a pass just because they're a certain ethnicity, race, or gender. It's like, are you doing the right thing or are you not doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Because it's like, demonize white men all you want, but there's some white men doing the work and being good people.
Yeah.
So you can't say all.
Right. Like my brother. My brother is a really dope white dude.
Is he single?
He is, yes.
tell him about me.
Yeah, he's dope. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed working there. It's why I stayed there for 11 and a half years. And I stayed because of who I worked with and what, you know, that stage, that room itself is magical, you know.
It really is.
Yeah.
Is that a static or a spin pole? Static,
that's
right?
A static pole, yeah.
Okay. It also looks bigger than other poles I've seen.
It's a 50. It's 50 millimeters.
So it is bigger because the standard one's 45.
Actually, in stripper culture, standard is 50 millimeter. And then in pole dancing culture, it turned to 45 because everyone wanted to do the grips where their body is far away from the pole. And so it's easier to do on a 45 than it is a 50.
I see. I'm learning so dang much.
And actually, in strip clubs, standard poles are brass, not chrome or silver. So they're stickier and a little harsher on the skin. So, you know.
Yeah.
Stripper pole dancing is hardcore.
I have a brass pole at my house, and I like it because I stick to it easier. And then I hadn't pulled in a studio in so long. And then when I went back to the studio, I was like, why am I sliding? This is harder. I like brass.
Yeah, it's sticky.
I guess it does like rip up my skin, but like I prefer it.
Yeah, it's much better.
Okay, here's another question. Because I have my thoughts. What are tipping standards that everyone should be doing in a club?
I think it depends on what kind of, you know, economic status that you're at. So if you don't have a ton of money, I would say that you sort of like pick an amount that you want to spend and not spend over that. And when you're done spending that money, then you just got to go. You can't stick around. So if you can only spend $50, you bring $50 and then you give $1 or $2 to each dancer, tip every dancer. You don't have to tip every dancer. It's just nice to at least $1 a dancer. And then when you run out, you leave. Or if you've got mad money, then you spend it as much as you can, and you tip every dancer. If you've got a ton of money, you tip every dancer like $5 if you've got a ton of money.
Okay, so these are very similar to my thoughts. My thoughts are you tip $1 per dancer, no matter if you like the dancer or not. And when they're up the second time, it's still $1. It's $1 per dance, not per girl.
Right.
And if you don't have the money, you have to go. You can't just sit by the bar. It's not like in a proximity to the stage. It's like if you do not have money to put on the stage, you have to leave. And then if you have a ton of money, truly treat everyone so nicely.
Yeah.
And then I, like, the first time I did it, my friend was like, so you're tipping all of them? And I was like, yes. And they were like, why? And I was like, because they danced. And I think that's what you have to do. And when I, you know, was making a little bit more money, I would tip like $10. Like, I would just like throw a lot of money and just like spend money. And then the girls would like thank me. And I was like, they don't seem to be thanking many other people. Are other people not doing the same thing I'm doing? And I was like, this is stupid. This is. And then I got into a fight with a friend who like didn't tip at all. And I was like, you have to, or you have to go. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you can't be.
He didn't tip at all. And he's confused about why he shouldn't be there.
I think a lot of people get confused. They're just like, well, you know, they probably get like a like money from the club, like a server gets $2.50 an hour. They're like, I mean, maybe like they do that at a club, but you right. You don't get. Or do you get, like a server?
So, it depends on where... If you're at Jumbo's Clown Room right now and they were open, then she did switch over to that model where, you know, the law had been rewritten to make it more clear for these owners to understand that strippers are actually employees and that they should be getting paid hourly. But the majority of the clubs, they've never followed that rule, which is why when there are labor lawsuits and class actions against them, 99% of the time they settle out of court and the dancers win because they're always violating labor law. And so then the law was like, okay, let us rewrite this to make it clear for you of how you should be running your business. And most of the clubs, they still didn't switch over to start to pay their dancers hourly, which is what they're supposed to do. But it's minimum wage, though. So even if I'm up there dancing for $15 an hour, you're still supposed to tip me. That's, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and not tip your server because they're getting paid hourly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the culture. It's like, I don't understand how you go into a strip club and not tip. It's just the culture. It's what we see on TV and movies. Like, can't you learn anything positive? Just take the negative shit. So yeah. So and if you consider like $15 minimum wage to do what we're doing, that's not enough.
No, it's a very like, it's strenuous. I mean, I've only danced to like one full song. And then afterwards I'm like, wow, I'm like winded. And people do this 3 times a night, 4 times a night. This is a lot.
Yeah. But on top of that too, the emotional labor that we're giving out is because like, we can't be grumpy strippers. Like, we can't. We have to be like, hi, oh my God. I'm like, I'm having such a great night. What are you doing? What did you do tonight? Like, you have to do that all night with like 100 different strangers. And then I have to go on stage and get naked and hang upside down by my ankles, you know, and I'm counting my own money backstage every time, you know, you pick up all the money and then you have to count it and you have to organize it. So I'm my own accountant all throughout the night, keeping track of what I'm making, what I'm going to have to tip out at the end of the night, making sure that I'm getting drinks so that I'm having a good, looking like I'm having a good time, changing my outfits. Like, it is non-stop work. It's a lot like being a server where you just never really get a break. It's a lot like that.
Yeah, man. But it seems like so much fun.
Oh my God, it's so much fun. It's the funnest job ever. It is.
I think it is. Every time I go to Jumbo's, I'm like, I think I started taking pole because I was like, I want to do this. I just love it so much.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was watching a movie or Netflix. I can't remember. I'm watching so much shit right now. Someone got a standing ovation on TV. And I was like, so jealous that I wasn't on stage getting a standing ovation. Because I miss it. Being on stage feeds my soul.
Same. I really miss being on stage. I didn't realize how much of a because I don't like people, but apparently I feed off people. Like, I like being near people. Like, I lived in New York for such a long time and performed, but like I learned when I moved to LA that like I loved being on the train because I was by myself reading, listening to music, but I was surrounded by other people living their lives. And I just really liked that.
Yeah.
And then in LA, I felt so isolated. And I was like, well, where do you go when you want to be near the people? So I would just go downtown sometimes and like walk around. But then downtown is so poorly laid out that it would just make me upset. And I was like, this is not my city. This is not it. But yeah, I feel you on that. Like, I miss performing. I miss people. I like miss meet and greets, which is a thing that I do. Like, I didn't mind doing meet and greets, but people would always be like, you must hate this. And I was like, no, it's nice that you left your house and like me. Yeah. I miss it all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think part of the reason the job was so fun is just like when people are just like screaming at how amazing you are and throwing their wallets at you.
Yes. That's so fucking cool.
It feels good.
I was in Portland. This was, it was so long ago at this point. It doesn't feel long ago, but me and my friend Tessie went to Acropolis, which is a strip club that's like famous for like their delicious steaks. And this girl was dancing and they had a spin pole. And I was like, ooh, a spin pole. And I'm obsessed with a ballerina move. I think it's just called a ballerina. And she hadn't done it yet. And I was like, can you do a ballerina, please? And I like put like $5 on like the little ledge. And she was like, ooh, okay. And then she's like, yell out other stuff you want. And I was like, upside down, invert. And she was like, okay. It was just like, she was like a jukebox of moves for me. And then we like started talking and she was like, how do you know about, you know, spin versus static pole? And I was like, oh, I take classes. I'm a novice, but like, I love it. And then I just had a really nice time and I really wish her well. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, I hope so too. You said Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Portland. There's actually Kat Hollis of Portland. She organized the stripper strike up there and raised over $600,000 for sex workers in Oregon specifically, raised by the state. I believe she got a grant from the state. Yeah.
That's very fucking cool.
So I really hope that the Portland dancers, you know, do have what they need during this time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like during COVID, I feel like strippers and sex workers, sex workers are on their own for the most part. And then COVID was like, what fuck? It's like your business is human interaction.
Yeah.
And have you done any of the online strip shows?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I did one on New Year's Eve that I hosted actually for 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then I closed with the performance. It was a big job. And then, yeah, I'm doing another one on the 7th, another one on the 11th. And these are all different brands. And there's just that they popped up online everywhere. And it's been great to have control over our own content and, mm-hmm. and make and, you know, keep our own money, etc. However, at the same time, the government is cracking down on online regulations. They're trying to write and add all of these new bills that really will greatly affect sex workers. And we feel like it's pretty much like a war on sex work. Like Instagram is trying to erase us right now. They're trying to weaken our encrypted technology, which would affect everybody, not just sex workers. And they have all these new bills in place that are trying to dismantle like porn sites.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And MasterCard and Visa just recently pulled out of working with Pornhub and with other porn sites. So they don't have credit card processors right now. That just happened a few weeks ago.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with the sex trafficking and, you know, the children, you know, and what it really boils down to is no one, not even like Pornhub, is listening to sex workers. And apparently sex workers warned Pornhub like a few years ago, like, hey, there's like really inappropriate content that probably shouldn't be on here. Like you should probably mediate this content and remove it. And they're like, whatever. And they didn't. And then MasterCard and Visa was like, we don't like this child content on your website. We're out. And it's like, dang.
That's so funny. I will never understand not listening to the people, like not listening to, I mean, not employees, but like kind of employees, like listening to the people who are doing the work.
Yeah.
And being like, no, we're just going to leave it up. Right. It's like, no, fucking do, like clean your site like every couple days. Like make sure that like the content is good legal stuff.
Right.
Of people who are consenting and of age.
Yeah.
It's just so wild.
Yeah. And so the bills that they're trying to pass, while at the same time, I can see the good intention behind it. But because it's being made, they're being made so recklessly and without consulting with sex workers, it really does hurt us so much in the long run. And it's just like, if you just shut up and listen, like, and Pornhub, they don't care. They're just making money off us. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now nobody can make money because y'all didn't listen.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, yeah. And so it's just getting harder and harder to make money as a sex worker online. And we don't have brick and mortar places because of COVID. So we're all like freaking out. We're kind of freaking out. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, I do ask all my guests this. Would you date me?
I would date you, Nicole.
Oh,
I would.
What a treat. Thank you.
Yes. I am interested in dating, period. I'm like open to dating. I was just waiting to get my leg, my prosthetic leg. And now that I have that, I'm like ready to, yeah.
Is it? Can you pull with the prosthetic leg?
Yeah, I eventually.
Is that a dumb question?
No, no. Eventually. I hope so.
I mean, yeah. Yes, of course you could. I was truly in my brain being like, is that a dumb question? And I'm like, it is, because I've seen a lot of amputees pull. And it's like, oh, yeah, of course. You just figure out different grip points.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I haven't done it yet. Right now, I'm just focusing on trying to walk right now. I just got it a few days ago. So.
Ooh, well, that's fun. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So I dislocated my ankle. This is nowhere near the same thing. But I'm like in a boot and have crutches. And then I was like looking at my little atrophied leg and I was like, oh, no, I'm a big bitch. Is this leg like going to be okay taking weight again? We shall see.
It will. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've come to the end. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Yeah. I just would love to talk about, you know, promote my podcast and for people, more civilians. I'm really looking for more civilians to listen to Yes, a Stripper podcast, because you can learn a lot about sex workers and strippers and not only what's going on in our industry and our community, but all of the amazing things that strippers do, because they are incredible people. So you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts, called Yes, a Stripper, and follow me on Instagram at Yes, a Stripper Podcast.
Yes. Also, if you enjoy strip clubs, look for strip online shows. A fun way to do it, I'll just tell you, is to have like a Google Hangout with your friends and then the Zoom, and then you mute the Zoom and one person has the volume on, so you can like talk and also listen and like watch it. And it's I've done it a bunch of times. It's very fun. And they have like the Venmo. You can tip girls. It's almost like being at a club.
Yeah, you're talking about like a strip club online watch party.
Yeah, it's honestly, I've done it like, I don't know, 10 times. It's so much fun.
I love that. Will you please, could you share with me your formula so I could share that with other people, like in a text?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do it in like a hot second. Well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can do other stuff. I don't know. But if you write me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it. This nice person said, Nicole, I need to get me into that hamper. Once I land me a pair of those sweaty day-old drawers, I'm going to tear into them and shake them like the only dog. I smell like wet lady bush now. Do I want in? Do I need a password? I don't get the end of it, but I got the beginning half of it. Thank you very much for that that fun little message. Okay, well, that's it. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at Ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.